to your replacement, a bottle in my mouth, in an unfamiliar place, 'cause you put me out, the butt of a sick joke, into this ashtray life, as you come and go. 'Cause I forgot to service you, and we broke down, and you can't live with my mistakes. But I assume false grace, open my arms, and grasp for something true. How are you? How have you been? Girl, I miss you. Wanna see you again. Oh, wire. Wanna be there when you could be here. You are slipping.
Miserable and it's Is everything working?
Yeah.
I think so. Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM. That was the Pixies. Caribou. Caribou who? My guest this week, live in the studio, because they are here to do an event at Lucky's tonight at 7 o'clock. Lucky's on Main Street between 23rd and 24th. I'm forgetting the address right now. I should have it memorized. I've been there enough times. The guests are... Now, I forget how to pronounce your last name, Sophie.
Yano.
Yano. Okay. I just want to be like, Sophie, you know?
You know, there's all... Well, you know. Yeah. Just think, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And people say, you know, on this show a lot. It tends to be a fallback phrase for interviewees, you know? And I have Francois Samson Dunlop.
Hello.
Hello. And at the end there, Alexandra Fontaine Rousseau.
Hi there.
And... you guys are all in town as part of a whirlwind comic book tour. What's the name of the Tumblr?
Comicsroadtrip.tumblr.com.
Yes, it is.
And so Alexandra and Francois are from Montreal. Originally Montreal?
No, we come from a small city near Ottawa that's called Aylmer. That's on the French side of the, on the Quebec side of the Outaouais River. But we moved to Montreal. I think I moved like 8 years ago, and Frank... before that.
And Sophie, you're originally from the Bay Area or Seattle?
Originally from the Bay Area. I lived in Seattle for a little while last year, but now I'm living in Montreal.
Lovely Montreal. Well, welcome to Vancouver. You've picked an odd day to be here. We had rain in the morning, and now it's looking nice out, so hopefully it stays nice. Who knows? So tell us about this event you guys are doing tonight as part of the comic book road trip.
Oh, well, should I be the one talking about that? I
mean, well, everyone's Sophie's... looking at you.
Go for it.
Yeah, well, we're doing readings. Sophie is going to read stuff from her two volumes of In Situ, which is an amazing book she wrote about Oakland and Montreal, and she'll probably talk about it later. And Francois and I are going to be doing a reading of a in-character reading of a chapter from Pinkerton, a book we originally wrote in French like almost a year ago, and which we've translated. We translated it earlier this year for a TCAF. We wanted to have an excuse to go to TCAF, so we were like, well, we're going to bring books and they need to be in English, so let's translate this baby. And Sophie helped us do it, and it was a great way to launch the Colosse Export line of translated and or originally English language comic books for Colosse, which is it's been a while. It's been around for a while as either wordless comics or French comics, and then Sophie just came to Montreal and was like, let's make this international, because that's how she rolls.
Great breakdown there.
We also have guests.
Oh, well, we don't have any guests tonight.
No. It's a shame, because we had like this opening act like all throughout the tours. And
you know, let's not talk about the negatives.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome tonight at Lucky's.
You're going to get more of us. You know, we're going to talk your ears off. And
I know people that would like show up and specifically miss the opening act. So, you know, it's all killer, no filler.
Yeah.
Well, the opening
so
acts were all killer. So, all throughout the tour. And picked. And local picked. Acts.
Yeah, I don't... I've lived in Seattle. I've spent tons of time in Portland, and I lived in the Bay Area for many years, but I've never been to Vancouver before, so I wasn't like, oh my God, my best friend who lives there that also does comics has to open for us. I was like, I have no idea how far UBC is from North Vancouver, and oh my God, like, where are we?
And where's the radio station? We're going to get lost.
They literally showed up 3 minutes before actually going on there. Actually, we started late today, I should say, but...
Well, we were here for the duration of Caribou.
There we go. Yeah. Now, Caribou, that's been a little joke for the pair of you gentlemen today.
Well, actually, it's an inside joke for all people living in Quebec right now. Because last night, you know, there's an election coming in, September 4th. And last night was the fourth final day of the debate. And there was a funny crack about Caribou. And everybody in Quebec is doing jokes, Caribou jokes today.
And Frank wanted to do a Caribou comic, and he literally like spent hours trying to draw a Caribou right, which he tried to inspire himself by listening to this song, which is sort of tortured and manic in a way. So he was like on the floor just fighting with his paper.
And then eventually actually looked at a picture of an elk.
Yeah, that was a good call right there. And he was
he's like, oh, wait, the antlers go the other direction.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Your friends are mean to you.
And he's stuck with us in the car for so long. It's terrible. He's living hell right now.
But he's the only one that can't drive the stick shift, so he has to put up with us.
So when did you guys... How long have you been on tour?
Well, the guys arrived in San Francisco on the 14th, but our first date was on the 17th in San Francisco, and then the next day in Berkeley, and then the day after that we drove to Portland, and then to Seattle, and... So we'll be going down back down to Portland after Vancouver.
Okay, so you guys flew into San Fran, and then you're
San Jose, actually.
Yeah, and I picked them up.
Do you know the way to San Jose?
Oh, well, she knew.
More or less.
Sorry, that was a crime.
Yeah.
So what was the choice of kind of doing a tour in the West Coast? Like, you guys just want to see different parts of...
Well, it started as a thing where I was coming back anyway, and through a series of events had an extra ticket, a person that was going to come couldn't, and I was like, Alex, you should totally come to the West Coast with me.
And then it became, oh, well, we could bring Frank along, and then we'd have a comic book road trip thing happening.
Yeah, I was like, well, we could just, you know, have a really nice vacation and enjoy the West Coast. Or we could just, like, totally rush this thing and go crazy. Let's do that.
And it's been pretty hardcore, really. I mean, I'm going to come back to work and I'm going to be super tired. People are going to be like, whoa, that doesn't seem like you had a vacation right there. Which is fine.
It's not really a vacation.
No, it's not a vacation. But it's fun, and it's my first time on the West Coast, and I love it so far. We've only been to the good cities, I guess. And
yeah, we didn't stop in Redding.
I don't even know where Redding is.
That's all right.
Is that in California?
It's like Northern California. There's a stretch of California that's about 6 hours long where there's... I don't know, large fields of weed.
Which, they're beautiful.
I've been in Weed, California.
we passed through there.
Oh, that was too much of a Vancouver comment. So why don't we talk a little bit about your books? First, I'm going to kind of yak with you guys about Pinkerton. Kind of working through someone's breakup, one of your breakups.
Yeah, well, I broke up with my ex-girlfriend broke up with me, and then I had to write this book in like 2 weeks, and I didn't have a job, so I was like basically like in my apartment just writing and writing and writing and writing until 4 o'clock, and then I'd fall asleep, wake up afterwards, and continue writing. And then I arrived with my I scanned pages, the handwritten pages, and I'd send them to Frank over email, like, overnight, and then he'd wake up in the morning and be like, oh yeah, I have to draw that. And supposedly my scanner, like, parameters weren't that right, so sometimes he had to decipher the words and it was really hard or something. Well, he likes to complain a lot about this sort of stuff, but I'm sure it's not that bad. But anyway, it was like a cathartic thing. I needed to write a book at that moment, and I knew that François would be willing to actually draw it in like 2 months, because it's a pretty big book.
It's
to
like
do in 2 months.
Over 150 pages.
Yeah, and yeah.
That's why you're too kind.
Well, let's say the government kind of helped to make that book.
Frank did not have a job either at the time.
It's much easier to be making comics when you don't have a day job, really.
Now, is this the first time you guys have collaborated, or have you guys collaborated for quite a while? Because you both came from the same small town, is that right?
Yeah, but we didn't know each other back when we lived in the same small town. Frank is actually a little older than I am, and we met in a video store in Montreal. We worked there for like 2 or 3 years together, and Frank actually for a while we'd have like messenger conversations, and he'd like copy and paste the conversations we were having, and then they'd end up in his comics. So at a certain point, I was like, well, I want co-writing credits on these, and I'm going to choose what you put in public. So we've been doing this on the internet for a while. Frank could talk about it a while. I don't know. Or not.
Well, that's pretty much it.
So you've never drawn comics? You've strictly written...
I will say that I've never drawn comics, although that is a sort of a lie, but let's keep it at I only write scenarios, yeah. Ice cream.
With Frank.
I've done a few things with other people, and I'm working on stuff with other people. But
and we did a fun thing. We were doing these weekly zines where we all just contributed a page or two for a while. I don't know. We did it for like 10 weeks, like once a week. And then on the, was it the eighth one?
The eighth one,
we had Alex write scenarios for everybody who was participating. So we all drew them, which was really fun.
Yeah, it's...
Well, that is actually available on our website if you're interested.
I think there's a few copies of that left, and they're super rare. We did like 45 copies of those. And
what is the website?
Collectioncolosse.com.
Mm-hmm. And there's also there's an English tab for you guys, so you don't have to go through that French thing. But you'll have to read the it's a good way to learn French because there are short stories.
And they have drawings, you know, comics have drawings. That's what separates them from normal books, right?
So for yourself, Frank, are you more comfortable working with a writer, or is it, do you do your own comics as well?
Well, when I do my own comics, it's pretty much in the absurd. And sometimes, like, it makes absolutely no sense. So I like to have something that's more, how would you say, like putting meat on the bones. And also that, let's say it's a dog with meat and bones. Well, it will have an actual head, and it will go somewhere. the kind of comics I draw, they're like
meat dogs.
Extended metaphors with Frank.
It's funny because he makes those up as he's talking to you, and you're like, he's going somewhere with this, but he's not, and it's sort of...
Frank, like the no-headed dog, is going nuts.
Yeah. So he needs a script, even in his life.
Like, when I do solo comics, it's automatic. It's like automatic literature when you just... It's more than improvisation.
He's a Dada poet in comic form.
That's very legitimate.
Yeah, like the whole Olipo thing and the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play a quick song break. I'm going to play Lightning Bolt, and we'll be right back. You know, listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're back. Inkstud, CITR, 101.9 FM. That was Dracula Mountain from the very fine, talented Lightning Bolt, featuring our Comics Connection of the Day, drummer Brian Chippendale, who I had on the show a couple of years ago, and it was the oddest interview. He forgot we were doing the interview, and he was in a car, so he had to get out of the car, and he was in a dog park for the whole thing.
Oh, I listened to that interview.
And he's like talking to dogs while we're talking. He's like, hey, what's going on, buddy? Hey.
Is there an archive of that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But more importantly, enough talking about myself, is Lightning Bolt will be playing at the Fortune Sound Club on September 7th. And it is sure to be an excellent show. All of you have seen Lightning Bolt. Or have you? Did you see them, Frank?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what kind of show was it? Was it good? Was it amazing?
It was pretty good. Although, we did expect that the band was going to play on the floor and we would be circling the band like we saw in Europe. And we got a regular show.
I saw them in Seattle on the same tour, and they were definitely on the floor. In a basement, in a secret club. It was good.
Yeah, we had them at the local boring bar, and they had to play on the stage. But they were like, they're amazing live. If you haven't seen them, you should definitely. And they have a new album that's coming out also. So that's probably why they're touring right now.
And there's a new Black Puss album too.
Yeah,
which is
even noisier.
Even noisier. And you, Alex, you had an unfortunate incident at the last time you saw, or when you saw it.
Oh yeah, you want me to tell the story?
I think it's pretty awesome.
All right,
you don't
so have to. I was headbanging my head off, I guess would be the right way to say it, and I actually ended up flipping over the first row of attendance and ended up with my head for almost an entire song in the bass drum. Which was pretty pummeling as a general experience. And my eardrum never actually quite recovered from that. And I actually, like, later on, I actually went to a KG Ino show without earplugs. And that basically destroyed my right ear for the rest of my life. Well, it's sort of functioning, but it's
but it
in
was
the morning.
Than.
I just need to put it back on or something.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't realize it was that brutal.
No, it was
all
right.
He's expressing all the trauma over the air now.
Mm-hmm. It was great. I don't regret anything.
Yeah, well, let's say the KG Ino show, I was there too, and that couldn't have helped. That was kind of a big mistake.
I was sort of deaf for 2 days after that thing. We were like the two guys without earplugs in like the first rows, and I was like, this is very loud.
Apparently when My Bloody Valentine played in Seattle, there was warnings. We're telling you now, you need to wear earplugs just everywhere as you're walking in. They're handing out earplugs.
Wow, that's very sweet.
Yeah. Don't complain if you have hearing loss if you don't wear earplugs, basically. Yeah. I wish I saw them. Sigh. Just a reminder, I am talking to Francois Dunlop, Alexandra Rousseau, and Sophie. I'm totally going to get your last name. I don't know why. What's my problem with
this? It's because everybody misspells it and they put two N's in it when they've heard it before they've read it. So it's Yano.
Yano. Yeah. Like Yanni.
Okay, yes.
And she's definitely into like sweet new age stuff.
Man, I love yacht rock. That's my favorite yacht subgenre.
Is that like music where the guy has to have long hair and a big open shirt?
That's part of it. The open seas, the coast, rum, keys, smooth keys.
Good melodies.
With
feelings.
Now, part of your road trip, you guys have gone record shopping. Any amazing finds?
My bag can't. I shouldn't be saying this on the air because I'm going to get busted by the borders when I go back home. But yeah, amazing. Like, the record stores in San Francisco were great. In Berkeley, I found like four old Studio One reggae LPs from like originals, which you only find reissues and compilations. And the Berkeley Amoeba store had them all. We went to, yesterday in Seattle, we went to this amazing record store called Zion's Gate, which is owned by the guy from Crucial Blast, which is a good metal label. And they have like an amazing punk and metal section. We bought like I bought like tons of doomy stuff, which I don't even, I had never heard of them. He was like, this is produced by the guy from Electric Wizard. You should definitely get that if you like slow.
Yeah, he had like three adjectives to describe everything. He was like, oh, that one's really heavy. Oh, that one's really slow. And it was just like, however he inflected was like, yeah. It's almost like he was replicating the music.
Yeah. And if he said like heavy, slow and sludgy at the same time, I would be like, I'm buying that.
Yeah.
It's got like old devilish the drawings on it. I'm totally getting that one.
We both picked up Windhand, which I guess is a doomy Seattle Electric Wizard sleepy kind of thing.
Yeah, and he told us like this is going out of print really soon. It's going to go up in value. You should totally pick that up.
That guy is really good at selling records. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
So with Pinkerton, it's completely opposite music. Sensitive boy music.
I'm a sad guy. I listen to all the heavy stuff to cover up the fact that I'm so emotional. Yeah, it's basically like me trying to get over that part of my teenage years, I guess. It's like we actually had this idea of like two people getting over Pinkerton. Like we were kicking that around for a while. We were like, yeah, this could be, but we had no actual storyline to it until I got dumped and I was like, oh yeah, that's the link, the missing link, the missing part. It's like these are all songs about feeling miserable, and it's sort of an high fidelity kind of thing too. It could be, why is everyone looking at me that way?
I mean,
yeah, I know I'm
we have a webcam here just watching you, everyone online watching you.
Really? No.
Oh. No, it doesn't. It just goes into an office to make sure you're not stealing anything.
I'm not stealing anything.
So was this, like, for you, Frank, like, this topic, was it of particular interest to you, or was it just, like, a chance to work with your friend?
Oh, no. I'm everything that Alex says in that book could have happened to me or could have been said by me, maybe in a way that would have been harder to understand.
Undecipherable is the word he's looking for.
But yeah, this represents me as well as Alex. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's funny because the characters are really loosely based on François and I, and I mean very loosely as in quite seriously. So basically there are some things that François would actually say, and I would never like put what he actually said in the book, but I would like really use that as like a start off point to just like that part where he's talking about making a documentary about ducks. We were just like writing, he was drawing and I was like writing, and he was like, yeah, I should make a documentary about ducks, and I was like, that's a stupid idea. And then I just wrote like 4-page long diatribe on making a documentary about dying ducks and Colin Stetson like saxophone whales.
Do you still want to make the documentary about the ducks?
Well, the problem is, if you read the book, we're talking about taking, exploiting the NFB, the National Film Board. And that was written before the last federal budget, so that couldn't be made. We can't really exploit the NFB now, since it's pretty much dying.
Oh, sad
truth.
Yeah.
Moment of silence.
Yeah.
Welcome to Canada, so
I know, I'm getting here for the end of the spoils.
It's, yeah. I'm just going to hold myself back.
Another minute of silence? We can do like an hour-long minute of silence type thing.
It's like a John Cage experiment or something. So, Sophie, your comics, In Situ.
Situ. Yeah.
What is that title? It confuses me.
Yeah.
Explain.
In situ it's Latin. It means like in place. It's used in a lot of different, it's used in like science or architecture. And it has different meanings depending on the context. But for example, in architecture, it means to say to build a house using the surrounding, what's available to you. So to like build a house with the trees that are in the area. And I guess that just kind of the comics that I'm making are sort of, they're journal comics, pseudo journal comics, and I'm just sort of trying to work with what's around me to make them. So does that make sense?
Now, moving from
you said now, not no, right?
I said no. Yeah. It's my continuing the conversation. Right. The books document your move from San Francisco to Montreal, kind of not a direct documentation. It feels like more abstract.
Yeah.
In a way. Like, I'm just wondering what the function is for comics for you as far as like kind of using it to represent your experiences.
It's definitely a document, but it's not, I don't know. I don't really dig journal comics that are just, or I don't want to make journal comics that are like, oh, I brushed my teeth this morning and then I da da da. I guess what happened is for a long time I was making or attempting to make more conventional comics. And while I was living in Seattle, I don't know, something about the rain, I started spending a lot of time in bookstores and I sort of rediscovered poetry. And it just sort of clicked as a writing style for me to be less narrative or less like, yeah, I guess narrative. I started doing this 6-panel grid thing to be sort of a rhythm device. And that's just kind of where it came out of. Just, yeah.
I'm going to do a quick song break. We're going to listen to, what is this?
The Ty Siegel Band.
Ty Siegel.
He released like 2 records this year, and there's another one coming. He always releases like tons of records. He's a friend from the guy from the OCs, so it's basically like really good garage stuff with a sort of a space rock edge to it. And that Slaughterhouse, the record that's taken from, that's one of my top records of this year.
Did you pick everything?
No.
Hey, I picked the Lightning Bolt.
Okay. Thanks, Sophie. kind of wish we could have like sound like this throughout the whole interview, just playing behind us.
Yeah, totally.
I have a good, we were talking about noise tapes earlier, and I have a good Ron Ricci kind of noise loop cassette he made.
Very cool.
Kind of sounds like this. I don't know if I could really. That people would probably kill me if I played that in the background.
Well, we're not about being accessible here.
Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM. I am talking to Francois Samson Dunlop. I'm sorry, I'm totally butchering your name. You can laugh at me. Mock me. Go ahead. Everyone made fun of you. Your friends are mean to you.
You're rubbing it in.
I'm trying to be an ally.
Mock.
Remember that time when your friends were mean to you, Frank?
That one time.
It'll be over soon. Alexandra Fontaine Rousseau and Sophie Yano.
Close. Yeah, pretty good. Yano.
Since I was like, don't say Yanni. And all three will be at Lucky's this evening from 7 o'clock till whenever the beer runs out. Not that there will necessarily be beer there.
There might be beer.
Will there be beer?
I don't know. Yeah,
well, I am not going to comment on such.
I don't think there's going to be, well, anyway.
Brown bags.
Let's move
it's
on.
It's a drink your own beer before the event type of event.
Well, it's free. It's all ages. It's, yeah.
And it is an all ages comic store. They have lots of good kids' books. And I like Lucky's. They're good friends. And all of you will be doing a reading, I guess. So for the two of you who did the Pinkerton together, do you kind of read your roles that
Yeah, absolutely. We play the comic in front of you. It's like live theater comic action. It's wonderful. You definitely need to come to Lucky's because it's great.
Now, Sophie, do you ever come in as like the voice of reason that they have in the book?
Oh, maybe I should.
Well, the chapter we chose to do is a chapter where there are only the two characters, so...
Yeah, there's not really much for me to contribute other than I definitely heckle from the audience a little.
Yeah, she knows all the jokes in advance, so she's like, yeah, that's my favorite part all the time.
Oh, wait for this one.
She's just like...
It's going, yeah!
Poking people around and just like,
listen to this, this is great!
Yeah.
Well, if people ask for it, we could do like... a chapter where the voice of reason does exist. It's played by usually a male character, but we could improvise something around that.
I don't know what we could possibly improvise.
Well, we'd have to make another PowerPoint in the next few hours, and we
actually
that's
not happening. That's not happening. Now, part of your trip, you've been telling me, you've been kind of talking to folks about the importance of Archie Comics in Quebec.
Oh yeah,
and I'm curious about that.
Oh yeah, Archie Comics are very big in Quebec. You can't get over, like, people read them all the time, and it's not like just like toilet literature. We read Archie Comics in a very serious fashion. I mean, it's Archie Comics are like a gateway to mainstream America's subconscious, really, and we really like to decipher this sort of stuff. We read into them. There are like great studies, like based on like the relationship between the Deleuze and Archie Comics, really, and Riverdale is just Middle America's like sort of ultimate representation in comic land.
And we're talking about like early to mid early Archie's comics from the let's say from the mid 40s to
early 70s.
Like, early 70s.
Like Dan DiCarlo.
Yeah.
Early 70s is really interesting because the whole psychedelic counterculture seems to try to get in the Archie world and is not really very well represented, but it's there somewhere. It's trying to creep in. And there's actually there's a great zine called Galactic Zoo Dossier, which is from Chicago. It's by this guy called the Plastic Crime Wave. He has a band called Plastic Crime Wave Sound, and he does like once a year or once every 2 years, he does like this music and comics zine all by hand. And the last issue actually had an entire page devoted to countercultural and psychedelic drawings in Archie Comics. So it's not just Quebec digging the Archie.
And actually, it's such a big deal that Obom has done a sort of parody comic.
Yeah, called Ashi, which is basically a way to say not worth I don't know. Beep.
It's Canada. You can.
It's Canada.
Oh yeah, it's Canada. Oh,
listener
yeah.
discretion be advised.
Well,
go ahead.
All right. Well, Ashie means not worth shit. So it's basically these. Yeah, I know. I know. I've been in America. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember the rules of reality.
I have
anymore.
To be here giving you the go ahead. You're home. Yeah, you're home.
All right, all right.
Don't worry. We'll get you poutine.
All right. And,
wow. Yeah. Couldn't have done an interview without poutine.
Yeah. The,
oh, sorry. Did I just ruin things?
No, hey, that's hey, good. It's that's in good. The book, right? I mean, they can't yeah. complain, right?
Well, yeah, actually, and you do actually, complain in the book.
And poutine is basically like our little way of actually giving some props to Jughead and
yeah,
the burgers
say,
thing. Yeah.
yeah.
Now, but it, what's a really good poutine if one was to...
Well, the French fries have to be like real French fries, none of that frozen crap. And really a good serious
sauce.
Like a
thick fry, a thin fry?
Not a thin fry. You need a thick fry to sustain all the cheese and all the sauce, really. That's you need something to hold on. And the cheese has to be like real authentic curd, squeaky cheese, and it has the fresher the better. And the brown sauce has to be real thick. If it isn't thick, I mean, what's the point? And you can like that's traditional poutine. You can add stuff like there are many variations.
Hot dogs,
hot dogs, sausages are right. I mean, it's sort of vulgar. I really like something called galvaude, which is like green peas and chicken. So it's sort of like a poutine hot chicken in a way, and that's really really something actually. And then veggie like fried onions is
there
great.
There is vegetarian poutine available. Yeah. In Montreal, but actually no vegan poutine, which I was surprised.
Well,
about.
The sauce is actually sort of like brown gravy, crazy brown gravy, so you don't know what's going to be.
In crazy the, gravy?
Crazy gravy. And cheese.
I mean, you can specially order the vegetarian sauce, which is what I do if yeah. if I ever get poutine.
Yeah, but it's usually a wine sauce, and it's not really good with the cheese curds.
Yeah, and so. The cheese curds, I mean, the vegan cheese is just
it's
never going to get... It's not, yeah.
It's true. It's not cheese.
I'm but, sorry, vegan. I'm taking this one away from you.
No. I mean, try. I mean, I'm sure if you work for many years at making a great vegan poutine, you are going to get there. Don't despair.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks.
My pleasure.
We're kind of running down the hour. We have about 10 minutes left. One of the things I was curious about, and you touched on a little bit in your work, and maybe I'm just going heavy here, is kind of looking at social movements and kind of how... for yourself, kind of comparing your experience or experiences of your friends in the Bay Area from what you saw in Montreal with the casseroles.
Yeah. Montreal was... The whole casseroles thing is really interesting. I'm working on a longer book now that sort of stemmed out of the community organizing that started to take place in Montreal during the time that I was living there. And it the book is actually going to be essentially about the difference between organizing in a city that's really dense versus organizing in an area of sprawl. And I think that the organizing is pretty different. I didn't think when I arrived in Montreal that postering was such an important, vital thing for a city and for interacting with other people. But that's because I had been living in Oakland and it's so spread out. It's really hard to canvass all of Oakland. But then being in Montreal, I was like, oh my God, this is actually functional. And when people would like come out for the casseroles, you know, they'd actually see a poster that you put up the next night and you knew they'd be out there. So, and the casseroles, I mean, I guess folks over here probably have some idea, but it's people would come out and kind of bang pans and pots in protest of Law 78, which was against manifesting or demonstrating with over, well, eventually it was changed to what, over 50 people?
Yeah, it was 50 people, and you had to notice the authorities of like what was going to be your itinerary.
Notify the authorities. Yeah.
Anyway, it's I shouldn't say that it was. It is a stupid law, although they changed the number. But it's really an awful, awful, awful law. It's like they're experimenting on how much rights and liberties they can actually take away from you without. Anyway.
And well, and there's a protest tradition. In Quebec itself, going back, it's kind of part of the culture there, from what I understand.
Yeah, of course. Although we'd been sleeping for the last few years. And I think that this was like something where, that was a moment where people remembered that it was actually a part of our culture. And I guess it's like being like inspired by the, we people still talk about the Mai 68 in France, in Quebec.
Mai 68.
Yeah. Yeah, but it sounds so much more romantic when
it
you
does,
say
it does.
Mai 68.
And you know, you remember that it's in Paris and everything.
Yeah. And great movies being made. Great.
It's hard to it's hard to dig up the bricks in San Jose and like throw them at the cops. Easier in Paris.
Yeah, but there's also all the, you're talking about France, but we've been doing in Quebec a lot of we've been like blocking student fees height for like more than 30 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
but that's not a protest tradition. That's,
well, it's been done by protesting.
Yeah, yeah.
There's definitely a strike tradition, which probably comes from the French culture, I imagine. I mean, over there they have a big strike culture as well.
We have our unions will probably have a little more rights than the unions south of the border.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the really neat things that I found really powerful looking from coming out of that, just within comics, I don't know if any of you were involved in it, was that big, long kind of parade piece.
Yeah, that was us. I mean, we, in our studio, we had everybody come out for an evening and draw all of the characters. And yeah, and Vincent Giard, who's he's in France right now, but he basically put it all together to create that line of characters. But yeah,
he actually injured his hand while doing that. It was so much cut and paste to do. So, and yeah, that's actually true. It's Jimmy Beaulieu had to finish it, I think, because he couldn't.
And after the first evening, people would still send stuff over to Vincent like constantly, because they were like, "Oh, I saw this and I want to be a part of it." Because
yeah, and we had, I don't know, we got like 50,000 hits in the first few days. It was pretty cool.
It was pretty amazing. Like, I found it really, like, really one of the more visually powerful comics images I'd seen in quite a while. And I look at a lot of comics.
Yeah, that's exciting.
A lot of very great talents in Quebec. And so, yeah. Thanks for doing that, y'all.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, brought me over.
Just a reminder, folks, all three guests will be appearing at Lucky's Comics tonight from 7 o'clock till whenever. Lucky's is at Main and 23rd. The books are Pinkerton by Francois Dunlop and Alexandre Rousseau, as well as In Situ from Sophie Yano. I got it right!
Yeah!
Woo! Issues 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for making the trek up here to Canada. It's
no.
Well, wait, sorry. You're from Quebec. You went down to America. Thanks for getting here.
Yeah.
There we go. Trying to do some kind of logistics. It's making no sense.
We're happy to be here and glad we made it.
And I'm going to end us off with a cassette.
No. Yeah, this has been a tape tour in the car.
And we don't actually know which side of the tape is going to be playing, but it's this amazing Portland punk tape, like 78 to 85, which it's called Doomtown PDX. And we got it at Mississippi Records. They have a tape series there always. So you'll either hear the Stiffnoids with Radiation or Final Warning with Out of Sight or Out of Mind. And any which way, it's going to kick ass.
There we go. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.